This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark and Wong Xiaoning. It's 7.07 a.m. Tuesday, the 19th of May. And in about 15 minutes, we're going to be speaking with Carmelo Ferlito, Senior Fellow at the Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs, on attracting foreign direct investments to Malaysia. But before that, we're taking a look at the markets.
Well, U.S. markets rallied last night on the back of positive news that the coronavirus vaccine might be found. So the Dow Jones actually closed up 3.9%, S&P 500 was up 3.2%, while the Nasdaq was up 2.4%. Meanwhile, for Asian markets, which closed yesterday, the Nikkei 225 closed up 0.5%, Shanghai was up 0.2%, Hang Seng up 0.6%, Kospi up 0.5%, Straits Times similar 0.6%, and KLCI also 0.5%. Looks like the market seems to have forgotten that we're in the midst of a pandemic. Everybody's like in green territory.
Does seem to be that way. So this morning, for some insights into global markets, we have on the line with us Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the US Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Joe. Now, last night, US markets had a broad-based rally, with hospitality travel stocks bouncing up on the back of news that a potential vaccine for COVID-19 might be found. But is it still too early to buy into these names?
Okay. In those sectors, you know, airline, entertainment, sports, they'll come around last. But clearly, the markets are, you know, they're forward-looking discounting mechanism. They're looking beyond the downturn. In May, June, this is when the numbers will be ugliest. But I think clearly reopening, fiscal stimulus, good news out of China, Europe, a lot of states. We've got 45 states open here in the United States. That's what the markets are playing off. So it's the beginning of the end when it comes to the downturn. We're not over the problems just yet, but they're going to steadily improve.
And meanwhile, of course, if we look at Main Street, I mean, Jerome Powell does sound a bit cautious, and he did reiterate that the Fed was not out of ammunition. Now, what does he mean by that? And what other options do the Fed, what do they have in terms of safeguarding the financial markets?
Well, I mean, the biggest issue with Jerome Powell, and I think he's done a great job through this crisis, the pandemic, is that just when it comes to the credit solvency, credit liquidity, having the money there to backstop any part of the credit markets, the capital markets, he's there. The Fed is there. And that's hugely important, because early, when we go back to late March, when the markets kept going down and down and down, there was worry about a seizing up of capital markets, solvency, liquidity. He's taken that off the table. He's basically said, I have more ammunition. I will step in and buy more ETFs, more parts of the credit market. And that's kind of eased off a lot of the fear. So right now, a lot of companies are raising capital. And he is the key reason why. So that's very important. So there's not so much liquidity or solvency issues here. Now, when you get into retailers, right, we're going to see some consolidation, no doubt, bankruptcies. But that's just part of the workout process. And I think the market's already discounted that.
And the Trump administration has barred chip makers using American equipment from supplying Huawei technologies. So as well as potentially disrupting the global tech supply chain, is this an indicator that U.S.-China trade tensions are on the rise again?
Yeah, I would say for sure. I mean, there's no doubt between the United States and China relating to technology, the pandemic, the virus. Who knew? When did it start? Was there enough transparency? This is going to be a lot of fodder for the for our presidential election. So I'm worried that when it comes to market volatility, we could have risk-off days in the markets related to in and around the tensions between the United States and China. So it's not going to go away. But I do think this, as you're an investor, it's going to be noisy, it's going to be negative, it's going to be very loud. But like, I do think at the end of the day, the last thing the world needs and the United States and China need is another trade war, all-out trade war. So I think there'll be a lot of heat, a lot of rhetoric, but not much action when it comes to sanctions and more tariffs.
And if we look at Asia too, Japan slipped into a technical recession yesterday after the release of the quarter one GDP figures. In fact, analysts expect a steeper contraction this quarter. Now, how bad is Japan's economic downturn, and what solutions do they have?
Well, I do think they'll continue to print money, print the yen. You know, they have a lot of their debt is owned by the Japanese, so that gives them some wherewithal to keep printing it. There's some opportunities there in electronics, technology, healthcare. So actually, again, when it comes to some of these Japanese big name companies, there's some opportunities for investors. But I think Japan will rebound along with China, along with the fiscal monetary stimulus globally. The numbers out of Europe are getting better, and Japan, that's a big export market for them. So I think globally, when you look at China, Japan, South Korea, even Malaysia, through Southeast Asia, over to even India, on to Europe and the United States, I think we're at the bottom of the global downturn. And it doesn't mean we're going to snap back anytime soon, but I do think we've kind of reached a trough. We're going to build out slowly from here.
So what about oil? Because WTI futures rebounded past $30, its highest level since March 16th, on the back of output cuts and lessening travel restrictions. So what kind of trading range do you foresee for oil in the near term?
Near term, I'm not an oil expert, but 25 to 35. I don't think we're going to hit 40 anytime soon. That would depend on the production cuts coming out of Saudi Arabia and Russia and the United States. But, let's just go back a month ago. Remember, it's Armageddon. We're going to go to $10 oil. We're going to have we had negative oil prices there in the futures market. So, it's amazing how quickly we're going to reset, right? This was a self-imposed economic coma from the policymakers globally. Now we're going to go back and reopen. Oil prices are telling you clearly that there's more demand, global demand is picking up. So I would say, we're going to bounce around 25, 35. There's still production. There's still too much supply as demand. But demand will slowly but surely catch up with the supply as we go deeper into this year and to next.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Joe. And that was Joe Quillen of the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management, giving us some insight into what's been happening over in U.S. markets, as well as taking a look at Japan and oil. Now, if we look at some international headlines, though, we have also seen some news out of SoftBank, which has announced that its Vision Fund lost, and wait for it, nearly $18 billion in the last fiscal year. So SoftBank overall posted an operating loss of $12.6 billion, its worst losses ever. In fact, the Vision Fund went from being the profit driver a year ago to being the biggest drag on SoftBank's earnings.
Oh, how the mighty have fallen, right? I mean, SoftBank's success was very much driven by their wonderful unicorns. But these unicorns really turned out to be mythical. They don't exist, in the first place. We wanted to believe the dream, but clearly there was no dream. So, we had Uber. That was disappointing when it went public last year. WeWork, another spectacular downfall in September, and subsequently also still bailed out by SoftBank. And of course, he also has an investment in Oyo. And for those who don't know what Oyo is, it's a hotel chain. Guess what? Clearly a casualty of COVID-19. And even last month, Oyo furloughed thousands of employees outside of India. So the drop in Uber share price was responsible for about $5.2 billion of Vision Fund's losses in that period. WeWork contributed $4.6 billion. Another $7.5 billion came from the rest of the portfolio. So definitely not a good year for this fund.
And SoftBank separately also said that Jack Ma, who's the co-founder of Alibaba, is going to be stepping down after 13 years as a director. So up next, we're going to be taking a look at foreign direct investment. So be sure to stay tuned for more after these messages. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.